This is I Choose Life News and Views, sponsored by Indiana Right to Life and Allen County Right to Life, committed to defending innocent human life for all people of all ages. Your hosts are Kathy Humbarger, Amanda Banks, and Scott Kump.
Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
I'm Amanda Banks.
And I'm Scott Kump. Choose Life News and Views is a joint project of Allen County Right to Life, Indiana Right to Life, and Bot Radio Network in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
And now the pro-life news.
Last week, we told you about the death of Nathan Trapizzano, who was shot near his home in the Indianapolis area. And we weren't able to tell you a whole lot last week. There's been a few more developments so that we can expand on the story a little bit more this week. And helping me with that is Mike Victor of Indiana Right to Life. Thank you for joining us again today, Mike.
You're welcome, Scott.
Okay, so you were actually interviewed at the site of the murder last week, weren't you?
I was. I was contacted by an Indianapolis area news station the day after the murder, and of course they were looking for comment and feedback, and by that time it was really widely known in the Indianapolis community that Nathan had been very much involved as a sidewalk counselor at the abortion clinic that is on 16th Street in Indianapolis. So the news media was very interested in addressing this story, and I might say they were very respectful of the knowledge that Nathan had served in the capacity that he did outside of the abortion clinic. They were looking for some feedback. I was able to do that, and it was just a very sad day going to do this interview at the actual site where this young man lost his life.
So the place where he was shot was actually close both to his home and to the abortion clinic.
It is. If listeners can kind of, in their mind, if they're familiar with the Indianapolis area, this location is about half a mile to a mile from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on 16th Street. And right on 16th Street, literally a block away from where Nathan was murdered at, is the abortion clinic where Nathan served so faithfully in serving as a sidewalk counselor. So, you know, as I was standing there, it just really struck me that we know from the police video that's been released on this that apparently Nathan had just walked from the direction from where the abortion clinic sits on 16th Street as he was heading, we believe, back towards his home, if my understanding is correct. And I have to imagine that Nathan literally had walked past that abortion clinic minutes before his death, and I'm sure he had prayed over that abortion clinic and prayed for the young women that might have appointments that week. And it just really struck me. Here's a young man that probably just prayed, just walked past this abortion clinic, and literally minutes later his life was taken from him.
Knowing what you've said so far, it was hard not to suspect, and I admit I kind of suspected that perhaps he might have been targeted by someone in the pro-abortion movement, but that may not be the case.
It doesn't appear that that's the case. A suspect in the murder has now been apprehended by Indianapolis police. He's now in custody. The prime suspect is a 16-year-old young man who apparently has had a very troubled background. In fact, he was involved with some violent activity just in the days leading up to the murder of Nathan. So it's just a tragic situation all the way around here in Indianapolis. And for those who are in the Indianapolis area that may be listening to this broadcast, it's very well known that Indianapolis is just really gripped right now in a cycle of senseless violence that has just taken the lives of many people already this year. And, you know, here we have a situation in which a young man worked so hard to save lives, and yet his life was taken from him in this senseless act of violence. But it does appear that the motive was strictly robbery. We know from the video footage that's been released, apparently there were two men involved in assaulting and murdering Nathan. One that appears on the camera was serving as a lookout, and the other young man, the 16-year-old, the police suspect, is the person who actually murdered Nathan. So, again, it's just a heartbreaking scenario in Indianapolis, and this has actually gone beyond the walls of the Indianapolis community to where the national support for this young man and the family he leaves behind has just really been astounding.
Well, speaking of the family that he leaves behind, he's survived by a pregnant wife.
That's correct. His wife is due to deliver their first child sometime in May is the understanding, is what's been reported here. And so you have this young man that leaves behind a wife that he had been married to just a little bit over a year, unborn baby daughter scheduled to be born in May, and all of those scenarios just adds to the grief that people are experiencing over this murder. And as a result of the broken hearts that people have over this, a website has gone up nationally to help fund support for not only the funeral expenses, but also for Nathan's family, to take care of them as they go forward. And initially, I believe that that website was established with somewhere in the ballpark of a $25,000 goal. That eventually was raised to a $100,000 goal. And as we start this interview this morning, Scott, we are at, not we, but the website that's raising the money for this family is at $161,000. And I just learned this morning also, I was checking an update on this, that even the Indianapolis Colts now have stepped forward to express their support for the family that Nathan has left behind. And apparently the Colts have said whatever they can do to help this young family, that they want to be engaged and be involved with it. So out of this tragedy, there is just this outpouring of support that's coming forward. And it's, you know, if you can find encouragement in a scenario like this, this is where we're seeing that.
Yes. Well, what is that website?
If that website is on GoFundMe. That's GoFundMe.com. And this is a site that is set up by individuals and causes so that people can easily give support for various different things. And I believe if you go to GoFundMe.com and then just search on the last name Trapezzano, that's T-R-A, T as in Paul, U-Z-Z-A-N-O, you will be directed to this site that's raising funds, again, for the funeral expenses and the baby fund. And you can very easily, just within a couple of clicks, lend your support to this family that is really grieving right now but needs to move forward. And this is just a way to help out, and particularly help out the family of a young man who devoted so much of his time and energy to saving unborn children. It's just a great way for us to all come around and help support them.
I need to point out some things here. I think, you know, the support we're hearing about from the Colts and probably a lot of other people is not necessarily tied to his pro-life work.
Right. I think that's fair to say. I think that those in the pro-life world that know of Nathan's involvement very deeply are reaching out because of his engagement on that level. I think the community at large, some may know about the Sidewalk Counselor connection. A lot of folks probably do not, but they are reaching out because of just the tragedy of having this newly married young man, having an unborn baby daughter scheduled to be born just a little over a month after he was murdered in this fashion. And the people are reaching out from a variety of different angles. But that's a good summary, Scott. I think a lot of folks probably do not know about the Sidewalk Counseling connection. Certainly in the pro-life world, that's very widely known right now. But again, I have to say, I'm very impressed and pleased that with the Indianapolis media, as they cover this story, have dealt with the Sidewalk Counseling connection in a very compassionate and a very honorable way. This was not an issue where, you know, typically they will drag politics into any discussion on abortion. And out of respect for this young man's legacy, what I have seen personally from the Indianapolis media is reporting this all above board, all out of full respect for what he did. And I know personally, in talking to a reporter on camera about this, I could see that this was probably the first time that she's had a serious discussion about the work of Sidewalk Counseling. So I just look at this and think that out of this tragedy, God may be opening up all types of doors for people to step forward. And I think we're going to see a lot of individuals that will step forward in the wake of this and say, I was impressed by what this young man did. Now I want to step forward and get involved and do something to help as well.
How do they do that?
They can contact us through our website at irtl.org. And we have a variety of different ways that you can start to get engaged, start to get involved. Our email address is irtl@protectinglife.com. But when you go to the website, you'll see all types of different avenues to get engaged, to join the discussion on life issues here in the state of Indiana. If your heart has been tugged, has been pulled in this direction, but you've been sitting on the bench thinking, well, I just don't know if I want to get involved. I would just pray that people would use this legacy of this young man, who had, I'm sure, plenty of other things to do at this time in his life, but sacrificed so much of it so he could stand outside of this abortion clinic and help young women to choose something other than abortion and help to save those unborn babies' lives. That should be an inspiration to all of us. So use that inspiration, use that legacy for your chance to get involved and help save babies.
Again, my guest today has been Mike Victor of Indiana Right to Life. Thank you for joining us today, Mike.
You're welcome, Scott.
Have you made plans yet to attend this year's A Hope Center banquet in Fort Wayne, Indiana? Well, the event takes place on Tuesday, April 22nd, and it offers the opportunity to be educated and inspired in a special way. Carol Everett is going to bring her unique perspective as both a past abortion provider and a consumer. On Tuesday, April 22nd at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum, Carol will tell her story. But today, I'm very pleased to have Miss Everett with us on I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Amanda Banks, and Carol Everett is our guest. Carol, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, we are delighted to have you. I've already enjoyed your accent from our time on the phone together before we started. Carol comes to us from Texas, and she says that they still have wide open spaces there. We've got some of those in Indiana, but maybe not quite as many. But Carol, thanks for agreeing to come to a Hope Center's banquet and share your story. As I introduced you just a moment ago, I said you were both a past abortion provider and a consumer. Without telling your whole story, because certainly we want our listeners to hear it in its entirety at the banquet, could you start by sharing briefly about your past as an abortion provider and consumer?
Well, my own abortion is what led me into the abortion industry.
Mm.
The moment that abortion was over, I knew I had killed my baby. But how do you deal with that, Amanda? Where do you go with that?
Right.
And so I justified it by selling other women abortions. Every time another woman had an abortion in some sick, twisted way, I was okay.
Mm.
And I evolved in double the business of the man I worked for, but he wouldn't share the money with me. So I took his best abortionist and we opened our own clinic. And I had a better commission spread then. My commission was $25 per abortion, and my plan was to sell 40,000 abortions a year and be a millionaire.
Wow.
And sadly, I was on track. This was 1977 through 1983.
At what point then did you make a change, a big change in your life, and enter the pro-life movement?
Well, I was, once a month, we were taking a woman to a hospital, and we didn't call ambulances. Ambulances are terrible publicity in front of an abortion clinic.
Right.
We put them in my car and transported them not to the closest hospital that would take care of them, but to the hospital that would take care of us, the abortion clinic and the doctor. And once a month I was making that trip and I was going, I'm not helping women. It was really sinking in.
Mm.
But actually my plan to expand to five clinics, we had two open. They paid for themselves in the first month. The plan was to open three more in 1983, and we were on track to that. But everyone inside that abortion clinic fights. And in order to expand, I knew we had to stop the arguments between the partners. And with that in mind, we called in a business counselor who said he could solve our problems by merely meeting with us an hour a week for 4 weeks. And we started meeting. This man was very different. He didn't drink, he didn't cuss, he didn't chew, he didn't run around with his wife. And I started interviewing him.
Hmm.
What are you doing in here? And he, finally, I just said, are you a preacher? And he said, yes. And I said, what in the world are you doing in this situation? And he said, God sent me.
Hmm.
Now, Amanda, I thought I was a Christian.
Right.
I know that sounds silly. But I told him quickly, I have a Bible in the top right-hand drawer of my desk in that abortion clinic. I will have you know, sir, that I pray every day. I didn't tell him I prayed none of those women would die. I prayed there'd be a lot of abortions today. But when I told him that I tithed on all that money and he was not impressed, I had a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach that I was in trouble.
Mm.
And he kept talking. He said, Carol, my deacons and I have been praying for some time. We believe there's someone inside this abortion clinic that God wants out. We're going to be leaving in 30 days. And then he laid out the plan of salvation. Carol, God loves you. You can't be good enough. You can't work hard enough. You can't buy your way to heaven. But because God loves you so much, he made a way of escape for you by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to live the sin-free life and die on the cross as perfect sacrifice for your sins. And by the simple act of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, your life can change. Now, I'm going to admit to you that I prayed that prayer to shut that man up. That was the way to close the deal.
Right.
But I prayed that prayer, and he is a king of the strange prayer, in my opinion. Anyway, still, he trusts God to do things that we don't think about doing. But he said, I'm going to pray this prayer, and you pray it after me. And this is what he prayed. Dear God, I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. Reign on the throne of my heart as Lord and Savior. Make me a worker in your vineyard. Amen. I stood up. I shook his hand. I got in the car, and I thought, what in the world is this crazy man praying about? Does he think I'm going to leave all this money and go to Florida to work in a vineyard? Not me. Thank you very much. But when I got back to that abortion clinic, they were all crying. I'd never seen that before.
Hmm.
They were huddled over in the corner crying. And now remember, I'm the hammer. When they can't get a girl across, they bring her to me. I scare her to death. We get her money. We push her through. But I started taking those girls into my office and sitting down eye to eye, knee to knee, and saying, no, your parents won't kill you. Your parents love you. They'll be disappointed, but they'll stand by you. Would you like for me to go home with you and help you talk to your parents?
Hmm.
At the end of that day, I was not saying, isn't this great? I saved three babies today. I was saying I lost $75. Money, money, money. And that's when I fell to my knees in the floor of that abortion clinic and prayed a heart prayer. Lord, if there is a Lord, if this is not where you want me, hit me over the head with a 2x4. Amanda, that 2x4 was the Channel 4 television station in Dallas doing an expose on our abortion clinic, clearly documenting how we were selling abortions to women who are not pregnant, which aired 27 days after that pastor said someone would be leaving in 30 days. And all I knew was it was me. I didn't know how I was going to pay any bills next month. I didn't know how I was going to take care of two children. I just knew that I was not to be in that abortion clinic where they killed one more baby. And I left July the 27th, 1983. You know, Amanda, what God's done in my life in the years since then is so incredible to me because, you know, he took me from a baby-killing woman who'd taken the life of her own child to tell me he loved me enough to let his son die on the cross even for those sins.
Mm-hmm.
And that my job now is to tell his story so people know that there's an agenda in the abortion business. It's not just about helping women. It's about destroying lives. It's about reaching out to their children with sex education so they'll get sexually active and they can give them low-dose birth control pills that they'll get pregnant on. It's about passing out defective condoms so girls will get pregnant. You know, our goal was 3 to 5 abortions between the ages of 13 and 18.
Hmm.
And I held the hand of one young woman while she had her 9th abortion. There's an agenda, and we Christians have to stand up because we're the answer. And Amanda, sitting in Texas today, you know, we're the frog in the pot. The water's boiling, and we're just sitting here smiling at our grace.
Mm.
It's time for God's people to stand up and say, enough. And that happened in Texas this last summer. And our abortion clinics are going from 44 in January of 2013 to 9 at the end of this year. We're going to save over 40,000 babies' lives because Christians stood up, came to the Capitol, and prayed.
What an encouraging thing to be part of, Carol, right there in your home state. If you're just joining us, I'm Amanda Banks, and I'm speaking today with Carol Everett, who's going to be the keynote speaker in northeastern Indiana at the Hope Center's banquet on April 22nd. And I should probably take this time to give you the details of the banquet. As I said, Tuesday, April 22nd, it's going to take place at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum at 6:30 p.m. The banquet is free of charge. There is no cost for admittance, but it is a fundraising banquet, and it's what a Hope Center relies on every year to fund a good portion of their ministry. For those of you unfamiliar with the Hope Center, they are a pregnancy resource center in Fort Wayne, several locations across the city. For more information, you can visit ahcfriends.org. That stands for A Hope Center, then the word friends.org. You can get tickets online there, or you can call their office. That number is 260-422-3544. Again, 260-422-3544, the number to call for a Hope Center's banquet on April 22nd. Carol has just given us a sneak peek into her story and what she'll be talking about there on Tuesday, April 22nd. I know you've done so much in the pro-life movement since that fateful day, July of 1983, did you say, Carol?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So for 30 years now, you've been on this journey out of the abortion industry into the pro-life movement, doing so many things to save babies and to save women. And one of those I just wanted to ask you a bit about is your organization called the Heidi Group. Can you tell us about that and what God's leading you to do through the Heidi Group?
Well, the Heidi Group is named after the child whose life I took by abortion. The name Heidi means noble and has derivatives of noble in several languages, but to me it means hidden, for those babies we're working to save are hidden from the world but alive in our hearts. And so the Heidi Group stands to help pregnancy centers and, of course, directing women to other pregnancy centers and adoption agencies and finding the answer for any need a woman has in an unplanned pregnancy or if she's experienced an abortion. And now we're ministering to men who've had abortions who are healing from that pain. Mm-hmm. I step out of that and personally go to the Capitol to tell the story and watch God work through that.
So you're meeting with or consulting many pregnancy resource centers. Is it across the country?
Yes, it is across the country. Yes.
Carol, yes. I'm thinking about a Hope Center whose banquet you're going to be speaking at. They're one of so many of these centers that seek to help truly provide the emotional, the spiritual, and the physical support that women and men need when they have an unexpected pregnancy so that they make the decision for life. The work that a Hope Center does and that pregnancy resource centers do across the country is phenomenal and so important to counter the abortion industry, which you know all too well. What do you see as the biggest challenge for pregnancy resource centers right now? I know there's so much, there's innovations in technology and there's, you know, really a movement to open more pregnancy resource centers to make them the alternative to the abortion clinic. I know here in Fort Wayne, we have a pregnancy resource center just doors away from the abortion provider in town. So what do you see as their biggest challenge, Carol?
Well, obviously funding is a challenge because they need funding from the Christian community. We don't want to get into government funding. We want to stay free to share the gospel without any tethers there. The other thing is, how do we expand to reach more women? Mm-hmm. And we had a meeting here in Texas yesterday to try to determine how we might reach more women more effectively. And one of the things that we're seeing more of our centers do is offer well woman care. You know, we have Planned Parenthood out there offering well woman care, or many times even if they go to the local hospital, there are abortion proponents. So we need to find opportunities to provide care so women are not subjected to people who believe in abortion or who are attempting to get them pregnant so they can have another abortion or abortion after abortion. Hmm. So we see well woman care. We see sexually transmitted disease testing coming on the market, and we see that as a way to reach the man. If there's a sexually transmitted disease, that man's going to come in and get treatment too. So we are going to be innovative in reaching out and looking for other avenues to reach those people. Hmm. This is the largest potential missionary outreach in the nation. If there are 1.2 million abortions reported every year in every state, we have girls and women in need of our services in every town. Sex outside of marriage or sometimes inside of marriage. Many people who have abortions are married. It doesn't stop. And so we've got to be there as the church to meet that need.
So well said. And on the flip side, Carol, I want to ask you also, what most encourages you about the work and the development as a network of pregnancy resource centers across the country right now?
Well, we do have over 4,000 pregnancy centers across the nation, and that's very encouraging to me. And then, of course, I have been personally very encouraged to see the way we are adapting and understanding that we can't just do the same things, that we do have to look at new and creative ways to meet the needs of our women. I'm also very encouraged by what's happened in Texas. Saving 40,000 babies is an incredible thing. And, you know, I've got to admit to you that I wondered, there have been times in my walk that I have wondered if we would ever get here. So it's been extremely encouraging to see this and to see the lives saved and the way that God is moving, that when we will let him, he will move in and do the work. And so I'm just encouraged, but I also believe that we as Christians have got to smell the roses and get up and go to work. Absolutely. In our own communities. I'm not saying go to, across the nation or across the ocean. You don't have to go anywhere to be a missionary.
Right.
And a Hope Center is a great opportunity for even those listening to us right now to be missionaries a few hours a week. Everyone has a gift that that center can use. If it's just bringing toilet tissue or cleaning their toilets or whatever, or if you want to be a client advocate, if you want to be a missionary reaching to those girls, all you must do is go in, be trained. They will train you. They will not push you in a room and say, go get it done. They're going to train you, and when you're comfortable, then you can be that missionary a few hours a week talking to that girl about life and about Jesus.
Right. I'm so glad you said that, Carol, because it's not just money. That's not their only need. That's a large need, and that's what we're going to seek to help them with at the banquet on April 22nd. But the needs are diverse, and as you said, we all have something that we could offer. If you want more information about a Hope Center and the needs that they have there specifically, you can visit their website, AHC, that stands for A Hope Center, then the word friends.org, or you can call them at 260-422-3544. And you can also get tickets either way there by calling or going onto their website, and just by the click of a couple buttons, you'll have your tickets. Tickets, again, are free, but this is a fundraising banquet, so be prepared to go and give a donation. They also are looking for table hosts. So if you have some friends that you can invite that you'd be willing to do that, I know a Hope Center would be so grateful. Tables are of 10 people each. So invite some other couples, if you're a married couple or friends, single people, anyone is welcome, just to hear not only Carol's story, but both what's happening at a Hope Center and then their vision for the future. So much good is going on there. And I think that you will really want to be part of it. If you are in Northeast Indiana, please make plans to attend. I'll give you the details of the banquet once more. It's Tuesday, April 22nd, 6:30 p.m. at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum in Fort Wayne. And Carol Everett will be the keynote speaker this year. Carol, thank you so much for joining us, for sharing a bit about your testimony. And I really look forward to hearing the whole thing on April 22nd.
I look forward to meeting you, Amanda. Thank you for all you do for life.
You've been listening to I Choose Life News and Views. If you have questions about this program or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call 260-471-1849 or go to iChooseLife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.